Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's get to a squad, shall we? The Lakers without LeBron James, who's hampered with an ankle injury, and Anthony Davis, who likely will return this weekend. It is all Brody, though, as L.A. traveled to Dallas to face Luka and the Mavs and took an 18-point loss. This was the Lakers' third straight loss, and they fell out of contention. Russell Westbrook getting into this exchange with Brad Turner, veteran Lakers beat reporter for the L.A. Times.
Now you guys are actually the 11th seed, so you're out of the playing game. What changes going forward?
Nothing, man. Nothing.
And why is that?
Because it doesn't. What does it change? We still got games to play. Other teams still got games to play. We still got to play teams that's above us in the play-in. Don't really change much.
Thank you, Russ.
What do you think should change?
Winning.
Okay, that's obvious. What do you think should change?
Winning games, playing hard. Mm-hmm. You ask a question, I give you an answer.
That's fine. You got to answer the winning.
Aye.
You have to answer the winning.
I'm not out there playing. Maybe I think I'm. You give me the answer. What you think?
Exactly.
So well,
I don't have to answer.
You
know, exactly.
If so, you don't have it, you out there.
You asked me to have an answer. You don't have it either.
Well, but I don't play, Russell. If you, I want to get the information from you so that
I'm only one person, champ.
Right.
It's a team game.
Right.
So I don't have an answer.
Okay.
I may have it.
I don't have it.
It's all good.
But I'm asking the pros who know the game, play the game.
Yeah, yeah.
What you think you can do to make it your part,
yeah,
their part, everybody's
for
part.
Sure.
That's what I'm asking.
No, I really that.
Okay.
I respect that.
Okay.
You got that? Y'all got that?
No.
You got it?
No, respect. We can
see that? It's good.
We can.
Y'all got that? All right, cool. Y'all got it. Make sure to record that.
The Lakers now have the same record as the Spurs, who hold the conference tiebreaker and could bump LA out of the play-in. It's the first time since October that the Lakers are out of playoff contention. Dominique Foxworth back with us, and Windy still here. And let me just say this again in case anyone's just joining us. Brad Turner, a pro's pro. I feel like he handled that absolutely perfectly. He was firm. He's honest. Like, no one cares about my opinion. They care about you. You're the pro. We want to know from you. Windy, tell me this. Where do the Lakers go from here?
Well, short term, it's probably going to get worse before it gets better, Molly,
okay,
because they are probably going to play tomorrow night without LeBron James and Anthony Davis in Utah in a game Utah has got to have, because they have now almost fallen back to six in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. So I don't love their chances tomorrow. Then maybe LeBron comes back this weekend. Maybe AD comes back this weekend. But the Spurs schedule is easier between now and then. So I think that the Lakers could functionally be two or three games back by the time those guys get back. So even if they start playing better, AD comes back, hits the ground running. When he came back earlier this season from the knee injury, he played great immediately. Let's just say he does that. Let's just say he does the hope. But they may be so far back with a tough schedule, it may not matter. So really, if you're a Laker fan, you want to see them advance, you need to start rooting for the Portland Trailblazers because they play the Spurs twice this week. And then into the offseason, the longer range, I would love to tell you that I had a blueprint ready for what the Lakers need to do. The only thing I can say is they should call all 29 other teams and say, what will you give me for Russell Westbrook as an expiring contract? We are willing to take back money. You're not trading for him as a player. You're trading for him as an expiring contract, $47 million. And if you can find a taker, you take anything that you can get. And then you try to assess what you have. That, to me, is their first order of business. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it.
Real quick, Nick, before we get you in here, this just came to mind from our earlier conversation. What would be worse if the Lakers miss the play-in or the Nets don't even win a series? When we're talking these super teams, superstars that we were all clamoring to see in this year's finals.
I'm guessing that.
That was asking you.
Yeah, I thought you were asking Windy.
I'm asking Windy.
Oh, you're asking me?
Yes, I thought you were giving me a dramatic pause or something.
I thought you were asking Dominique. I didn't like the. It's not the same Nets team that you're talking about from the start of the season. This is a team that does not have James Harden and doesn't have his replacement. So I will say the Lakers is worse because mm-hmm. the fall is greater, mm-hmm. and they don't have, frankly, as much to blame.
Got it. I enjoyed the dramatic pause, though. I was really waiting for it.
I was like, what's he going to say to this?
It's all good. Nick, yeah. Where do the Lakers go from here?
I mean, in the short term, it's nowhere, obviously. Like, I think this season is over, and it's looking into next season. And I think what Wendy pointed out is the scary part is who wants to take on Russell for $47 million. And I assume there are teams that are planning to tank. And having Russell on your roster might put some butts in the seats while you are losing because his value as a player, not that it was all that high before, it's gone down to a point where no one, I can't imagine a team wanting to bring him in order to make a run. It's a sad place to be in for such a great, great player. But I do think that we have to appreciate that they won a title. And there are teams that have never won titles. And as much as we have these high expectations of the Lakers and high expectations of LeBron James. They won a title. And I'm looking at all these teams, like just across, or not across town, in the same building. The Clippers made a bunch of other trades a few seasons ago and moves to get in a title contention window. They haven't won a title. I'm sure they would take the bleak future that the Lakers have going forward with AD on the roster, with LeBron on the roster, as long as they got a title out of it. The bubble title, I get it, but it's a title nonetheless.
Is one title enough when we're talking those three,
Yes.
We're talking about the Lakers?
Absolutely. I mean, I never
I don't know if that's what LA signed up for.
I mean, I won one when I was in Pop Warner, and I never won one in anything higher level than that. So hell yeah, I don't care. LA, they have to accept that we're in a new phase of the NBA. We're not in a period where they can go and attract all the big stars and cap be damned. We're in a different period. They're going to have to fend for these superstars like everyone else. And if you have to mortgage a couple years of your future in order to have one championship, I think it's a good deal. Look around the league. I mean, the Suns would do it. I'm sure the Nuggets would do it.
One's enough. Mission's guys, accomplished with AD and LeBron and Brody.
I have developed a saying in 20 years covering the NBA that when you win a championship, it means never having to say you're sorry because winning is so hard. So when you look at Rob Pelinka's performance, you can say, boy, he botched this roster, but he still put together a championship team. You can say, boy, it's really unfortunate AD keeps getting hurt. Mm-hmm. He won a championship. I don't know how much that gets you in terms in LA, especially when you come into a season and declare that you think you're going to do this.
No, it's fair.
But I will never take away from that accomplishment. It is definitely spectacular. I just don't know. None of them would say that if LeBron, when he came there, the day he came to LA and signed, if you'd have told him he'd have won one title in 4 years, he'd have been, oh, like, that's great. I would be so happy to win one title in 4 years. If you'd have told him 10 minutes after he won that title that they were going to be missing the play-in game 2 years later, he would be furious. So there's a nuance in there. I don't know where different Lakers fans are going to have different.
I hear you. I just felt like the standard's different because of those names in the Lakers. But you know who would appreciate a title? Like a pathetic Knicks fan like Stephen A. And
exactly.
I have another tweet for Stephen A. I hope he just heard that. And we asked you earlier, KD and Kyrie, are they the most skilled duo of all time? So Jay Williams said, yes, they were. That was his hot take. And Wendy, I said I'd give you a little time to marinate on it. Well, Stephen A's responded, Jay Will may have a point. KD and Kyrie, if we're just talking offense, last check though, defense matters. So Jordan and Pippen is still it for me. And yes, I'm still watching First Take. Hopefully from an elliptical, getting your cardio in or something. Wendy, thoughts on that?
Well, we get into the argument about what the word skill means. I sound like a lawyer. Yes.
You sound like someone else, but keep going.
Defense is certainly a skill, but that's not what Jay was saying. He was talking about, you know, the techniques of basketball, which are shooting, dribbling, passing.
Yeah.
You take in defense, Kyrie and Durant, you start talking, if you add defense to it, you're going to push them down the list. Because you talk about defensive skill. I mean, LeBron and Dwayne Wade were incredibly skilled defensives. I mean, you start talking about those guys. So, I mean, I don't think that was the spirit of what Jay was talking about. I think what Jay was saying is when you are so great on offense, when you say my skill is my defense, my offense is my defense, which essentially is what the Nets are going about this year, that's his point. But let me just say something. Knowing Scottie Pippen personally, having spent a lot of time talking about Scottie and what he worked on defense and the way Scottie feels about current players, If I told Scottie Pippen the defense wasn't a skill, he would have me up against that wall right there.
I am KD and Kyrie, most skilled offense. That's what Stephen A. is saying. That's what you're co-signing on.
But if we're talking about most skilled, period,
it includes defense as well, right, Nick?
You just summarized what I said.
I would absolutely include defense in this conversation. And I know it's sacrilege, but I would still go with KD and Kyrie. I would say that, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but Jordan and KD, as far as skilled, like a draw at best, if not giving it to KD for his size and his ability to do what he does on offense and defense. So, like, if you're willing to give it, give me a draw there, which I might honestly go with KD over Jordan. That skill, not his greatest, but if you're willing to give me a draw there, and then you compare the defensive deficiencies of Kyrie with the relative offensive deficiencies of Pippen, I think Kyrie's offense is better and more skilled is the question. He can do more things offensively as far as finishing at the rim, handling the ball, shooting, passing, like all of that stuff. He can do a lot more there, I think, than Pippen can do on defense. Although he's one of the best defenders of all time, Kyrie's probably the best ball handler of all time. Not one of, like the best
Text
ball
Pippen.
Handler.
See what he has to say about this conversation. If he wants
Jordan could shoot the way Durant shoots, he'd averaged 45.
I don't know what side of the argument that puts you on, but I agree, Wendy. You're right.
That means Durant's incredible is what it means.
Right.
Wendy, thank you so much. Two days in a row in studio. Who's better than me? This is great.
Thank
I have
you
friends.
So much.
Still to come here on First Take. You can't go anywhere, though, Neek. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. To the NFL we go now. When the offseason began, a lot of people were wondering if a big star was going to leave Green Bay. One did, but not the one who was expected, as Aaron Rodgers signed an extension to stay with the team while his top target, Devontae Adams, was shipped to Las Vegas for some picks. Now the Packers and that bad man are looking for a new connection. Certainly, if you look at our roster right now, we definitely need to get some speed in that room. Matt LaFleur said Tuesday at the NFL owners meetings in Palm Beach, Florida, we need a legit guy that can take off the top of the coverage. We've lost a guy that was pretty good at doing just that. Speaking of pretty good, we welcome in Mel Kiper Jr., Rob Ninkovich, and Mike Tannenbaum back here with us. Gentlemen, thank you for rejoining. And Mel, I'm going to start with you, sir. The Packers have a big need at receiver. Who should they target in the draft?
A lot of draft capital, Molly, and an opportunity to maybe stay at 22 and look at Jameis.
It looks like we
move
lost
up to get a Garrett Wilson from Ohio.
Mel, you got me? All right, we're dealing with some technical hits. We'll try to get Mel back. Meanwhile, Mike, you jump in on this one. Where do you think they should go from here for help at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, Jameson Williams from Alabama. Molly, he is explosive. I was at the Georgia-Alabama SEC championship game. He was the best player on the field. He had 7 catches over 180 yards, and he's a guy that tore his ACL, may not be ready until halfway through the season, but when you think about a player that could come in and not replace Devontae Adams, but give him some of that explosion, especially this year, where it's so hugely consequential, Jameson Williams from Alabama could do that.
Rob, I want to bring you in here. And it definitely seems like the easier path to the Super Bowl is in the NFC, where the AFC is just stacked at this point, especially with Russell Wilson going to Denver. We know how loaded the AFC West is, now best in the division. Where does Green Bay stack up amongst the NFC's elite now that he lost Devontae Adams, arguably the best receiver?
Well, it's tough to put them on a list right now as of today because there's still a lot more offseason to go and there's going to be some transition here on the team. These rosters are not set before they go into offseason workouts even. So, you know, when I look at just the NFC in general, the Packers really haven't gone up at all. Like, they haven't done anything. Better yet, they've gone down, in my view. So, you know, you lose your big-time receiver. You don't really have a pass rusher. You talk about their defense. That's the one need that they do have. They need a pass rusher to get to the quarterback. So I have them fifth on my list right now, as of right now. So number one being the Rams. Obviously, they're Super Bowl champions. Number two, good old Tom Brady. He's back. So I'm going with Tampa at two. And then for three, this one was tough. 3-4, I was like, man, who am I going to go with? I really think the Cardinals this year are going to be better than they were last year. So I'm going with the Cardinals. And then there's a team that I think that could be really, really sneaky. And that's the 49ers. With having Jimmy G back, knowing that he's going to be your quarterback, with, you know, the young quarterback behind them still probably doing that platooning of where they're coming on and off the field. But I think the 49ers are going to be a better team this year as well. So that puts the Packers to me at five.
Wow. All right. Five does seem a little bit low, but Devontae Adams was a huge loss. Mel, you got me now. Good to see you, sir. In case you missed any of what we were just saying, I essentially had asked Rob there, where do the Packers now stand amongst the NFC's elite? He had them fifth. But Mel, what I wanted to ask you is obviously a huge hole at receiver now, losing Devontae Adams to the Raiders. Where do they go from here? And Mike T had said Jameson Williams.
Yeah, Jameson Williams, do you stay at 22 and wait it out with New England picking one slot ahead, or do you try to move up and get a Garrett Wilson from Ohio State or a Drake London from USC? You know, back in 2011, Atlanta went from 27 to 6 to get Julio Jones. At 28, they could maybe jump up with that pick and keep 22, or keep them both and look at an offensive lineman like Tyler Smith from Tulsa. Rob was talking about pass rush. There's some underrated pass rushers in this draft as well. Deep wide receiver group. They've had four really good second-round picks and a good third-round pick in their history. I mean, Devontae Adams isn't the only great second-round pick they had. Greg Jennings went in the second. Jory Nelson went in the second. James Jones went in the third. You have guys in that round area like Christian Watson, North Dakota State, Calvin Austin III out of Memphis, Sky Moore out of Western Michigan, Isaiah Weston out of Northern Iowa, Alec Pierce out of Cincinnati that are really going to be good second- and third-round receivers. So the depth at wide receiver, Molly, really helps Green Bay in this draft.
Absolutely. Mike, what do you think about what Rob said of the Packers being fifth now in the NFC potentially?
Yeah, I would actually have Dallas in front of Green Bay right now because despite losing Randy Gregory, they were able to bring back Dorrance Armstrong. They were able to sign Dante Fowler, who has a history with Dan Quinn. And when you look offensively, while they did lose Amari Cooper and Cedric Wilson, they were able to keep Michael Gallup paired with CeeDee Lamb. As Mel just alluded to, there's plenty of wide receivers in this year's draft. So I think when it's all said and done, I don't think we're giving Dallas enough credit. And I think because of the strength of Dak Prescott, I would put them in the top four in the NFC.
Oh, I wish we had Stephen A. here today just so he could hear that. The Cowboys ahead of that bad man who lost to Jimmy G. It is certainly my day, gentlemen. We will leave it there. When we come back here on First Take, Mel, thank you so much for being with us. I know you got plenty more to get to with draft right around the corner.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
When the Niners season ended after losing the NFC Championship game, most people thought that was the last we would see of Jimmy G in that Niner red. Even the quarterback himself admitted he was most likely gone. We've seen many quarterback dominoes fall so far this season, but Jimmy G still with the team. With Trey Lance waiting in the wings, Kyle Shanahan says the Niners are still in no rush to trade Garoppolo.
We brought Trey here to be that eventually, and I think that'll be sooner than later, but when Jimmy gets his surgery and we can't upgrade our team by getting some good picks until people feel good about that, I'm all right with that. I mean, we're not just getting rid of him to get rid of him.
All right, Nick back with us and Mike T as well. Dominique, what do you think? Does Jimmy G or Trey Lance give San Francisco the best chance to win?
I think it has to be Trey Lance, and there's a lot of question marks about how good Trey Lance can be. But John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan traded away more than three first-round picks to get up to get Trey Lance. So that suggests to me that they didn't think Jimmy G was the answer. And no matter what they thought, we watched last year. Like, we've watched Jimmy G play, and we all know the feeling that we had in the closing minutes of close games is that Jimmy G was not the answer. He is not the type of quarterback that is going to take them over the edge to being a guaranteed championship contender. And I do think that he's good enough to be carried. Like, he's not going to destroy that team. He proved that by getting them to a Super Bowl several years ago. Like, he's not going to crush that team. But it seemed like in those big moments when you need someone to make a big play, he was unable to do it. And Trey Lance is not going to get better by sitting on the bench. So it might be a rougher regular season this year, and it may be a rough season altogether. But I think putting Trey Lance on the field and letting him improve gives them the best chance to win a championship, if not this year, then the next.
Yeah, I totally disagree with Nick. Jimmy G is 31-14 as a starter. They average 28 points a game when he's playing quarterback. And over the last couple of years, took him to the Super Bowl, almost beat Kansas City. And in the championship game, if Jarski Tart catches that punt from Matt Stafford, they're back in another Super Bowl. So I don't think he's perfect by any stretch. And I really like Trey Lance a lot, but he's a massive question mark. You have a team that's ready to win right now, not in a year, not in 2 years, right now. And Jimmy G is a more established veteran quarterback. And while we think Trey Lance may be really good one day, for this season, I'm hard-pressed to understand why the 49ers would ever move on from Jimmy G. I would keep him. I would start him. I would probably give Trey Lance some reps here and there. But no question, in 2022, Jimmy G is the best quarterback for the 49ers.
You start him because that's how you get better. You get better by playing. You only get better by sitting on the bench. And by running, platooning two quarterbacks, I think that takes away from both of them. Like, that's practice time that Jimmy G is not getting if he's your starter. And Trey Lance is not getting the full attention that he needs if he's a starter. So I don't think that platooning them is the smart move. Maybe putting in some sort of red zone package for Trey Lance or a third or fourth down package for Trey Lance is one thing. But I would say, first of all, QB wins, like, come on, we're past that as a stat. Like, QB wins is not a stat that anyone that cares about football respects. And second of all, the Super Bowl that they got him to, that the 49ers took Jimmy Garoppolo to, he threw an interception with his eyes closed just before halftime. Like, let's not forget that that happened. And last year, yes, if Jarquiski Tart catches that interception, they're back in the Super Bowl. But let's also remember he threw for less than 200 yards in two playoff games, less than 200 yards and two interceptions in two playoff games. The championship game, he had over 200 yards, two touchdowns and an interception. One of those touchdowns was a screen pass that he threw to Deebo Samuel that he took for a 44-yard touchdown. So we can, like, cherry-pick particular numbers and QB stats and pretend like Jimmy G is the answer. But Jimmy G is, seems to me, last year when we were all watching, I remember sitting there knowing that they needed something from Jimmy G, watching that Cowboys game that, yes, they won, but they needed Jimmy G to make plays, and he missed wide open receivers on back-to-back occasions in the fourth quarter. They needed him to make plays in San Francisco, and he threw an interception on a late out route against, or not in San Francisco, in Green Bay, at Green Bay. Like, these are things that happened not that long ago. And you can point to Jimmy G having success, but I would say that Jimmy G was a passenger. He wasn't steering that. And when they need something from him, he hasn't done it. I'm not here to guarantee that Trey Lance can do it, but there's a question. Maybe Trey Lance can do it. We already know the answer is that Jimmy G might close his eyes and throw an interception in the biggest game of his life. He might throw a red zone pick against the Green Bay Packers. He might also miss wide open receivers. Like, we can point to the numbers here and there, but we can also point to the actual things that happened.
Mike T, is it fair to call Jimmy G a passenger? Because you could also argue he didn't cost them Super Bowls, right?
Yeah, he's not a passenger. He's more of like a car that can self-drive at times. And context is everything here, which is I understand that the quarterback stat of wins is not a one-size-fits-all approach, but in this situation, Jimmy G with Kyle Shanahan, sometimes the best thing you can do offensively is run the ball or punt, not turn the ball over. And the question is, Trey Lance or Jimmy G this year? It's not Jimmy G versus the world, because I'm not saying he's a world beater, but I'm saying in this situation, it's worked for a long time. And in some of those games, Neek, that, for example, the Green Bay playoff game, Aaron Rodgers was struggling in the same conditions that Jimmy G was. And I think he has a really good feel for this offense. He understands where, again, some long handoffs to Deebo Samuel. I know that inflates his statistics, but still a positive play for the offense. And the whole notion of having a small package for Trey Lance, I'll say this. On some of the great Jet teams we've had that went to championship games, there were small packages for guys like Brad Smith. And working with Rex Ryan, who had a defensive background, he would say that really hurt preparation from a standpoint that even though it may be a 15-play package, it takes away from your preparation. So I think a small package for Trey Lance only enhances the overall offense of the 49ers.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Molly.
No, go ahead. I was just going to ask you, because you weren't in the conversation earlier, where you have the Niners in the NFC. Because when we asked Rob, he had them third, he had the Packers fifth, and then Mike even had the Cowboys ahead of the Packers as well.
Yeah, I heard the Cowboys. That surprised me considering what's happening to them this offseason. But, I think the Niners are at the top of a very weak conference. I could see the Niners winning if they move on from Jimmy G. So I think third is a good place for them. But I would say to the idea of having a Trey Lance package, like I agree with that. I just don't agree with the idea that you can platoon them in and give them both practice time. Like you need to install that package in camp and then not practice again because it forces defenses to prepare for it. But if you have to practice it every week, that is also taking away from your preparation time for your quarterback. And if you can consider Jimmy G anything other than a passenger, I don't know. Like the win stat, it's a beautiful stat. It's fun. But let's think about who was playing quarterback for them when Jimmy G was not in there. They were people who are not NFL starters. So it's not like you're dropping him into a situation that he's being compared to a legitimate starter. These were like Nick Mullins, like guys like that. No disrespect to them, but that's not the type of quarterback you want to win a championship with. So I think that we know Jimmy G's ceiling, and Jimmy G's ceiling is throwing interceptions in the red zone, throwing interceptions in the Super Bowl, and not elevating his team. You need a quarterback in the modern NFL, as we've seen. You look at the quarterbacks who have won and competed. It's possible to win without one of those quarterbacks, but you need a guy that's going to make a play, a big play at a moment when it's not expected. We've yet to see Jimmy G do that. We don't know if Trey Lance can or can't, but at least there's some hope that he could.
Yeah, and self-driving cars don't always make.
Yeah, I don't trust them. You need to look at the stats.
Don't always accelerate the way you're looking for. It's kind of a steady pace.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Understatement of the year. It's been a big offseason in the NFL. A lot of moving parts. AFC stacked. The NFC has some familiar faces gunning for the top spot. The reigning Super Bowl champ Rams look mostly the same and locked down Matthew Stafford for four more years. The Aaron Rodgers saga ended with the quarterback staying in Green Bay and getting a big contract but losing his number one target. Then there's Teflon Tom, who everyone thought they were finally rid of, and then he said, let's run it back. Here's Rams coach Sean McVay on Brady's return from retirement.
Sing it, man. Can we get this guy the hell out of this league?
At least he's honest, right, Ninkovich? He's honest because the man always wins. So, Rob, tell me this. Who would you rather see in the Super Bowl? Is it the Rams, Tom Brady, or Aaron Rodgers?
Come on. You're asking the guy that played with Tom who would want to see in the Super Bowl. Listen, I want to see Tom just win a Super Bowl so I don't have to see the advertisements for more T-shirts on not done or keep going or never ending. Like, if he finally wins one more Super Bowl, maybe
finally?
He'll say,
did you
okay,
say you finally?
Know what? Well, I'm saying he still wants to play for what? Like, he's playing because, I don't know. Like,
love of the game.
Feels like he needs another Super Bowl. Like, come on. Oh, yeah, the love of the game. Yeah, until he hits the turf about 10 times in a game. Like, anyway, so Tom, win another one, and then we'll see if he retires, I guess. Or he'll probably say, I need another one. I don't know. But I'll just go with Tom because I played with him. But everyone else can just hate on me because obviously I played with him. So.
Nick?
No, that's the right. As his teammate, I respect it. I'm not surprised by it, but I respect it. I did not play with any of these guys. Played against a couple of them, and I would say I want Rodgers. Like, I arguing for Tom at this point, I understand wanting to see Tom when he first went down to Tampa Bay, but what's the storyline? Like, he has exhausted all the storylines there are. Like, to have Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl, I think that is an interesting and attractive storyline. There's a lot of pressure. If Tom gets to the Super Bowl and he loses, what are we going to say? He's not the greatest of all time.
AJ, that's a good number.
Yeah, I know. I guess we already did that story 2 seasons ago. We did the AJ nothing but a number story. For Aaron Rodgers, though, it is a question about where he's going to rank amongst the all-time quarterbacks. I think we all would agree that he is as talented a quarterback and as productive a quarterback as we've ever seen in the regular season. But with one championship, just one championship, whether it's fair or not, I don't think he's going to be in the conversation with, like, the great greats, because one Super Bowl puts him in the neighborhood of a bunch of kind of flash-in-the-pan type quarterbacks, quarterbacks that were passengers on championship teams. Obviously, he is not that, but I think a second Super Bowl changes the way we think about him. So I think that makes for a more exciting and intense game because there are stakes there. For Tom Brady, there's nothing left to prove. He's proven it all. He's done all the stories. I don't know if I can listen to another package about how great Tom Brady is.
Well, Mike, before you jump in here, one thing he did say is, right, he wanted to play till he's 45, so he'd be making good on his word, right? The whole TB12 brand, but he's playing at age 45 and winning a Super Bowl at age 45. I mean, there's no better endorsement than that.
No.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. I can empathize with Sean McVay because I got 20 years of scar tissue of competing against Tom Brady either at the Jets or the Dolphins. So what Sean McVay said, there's a lot of us who have been feeling that for about 20 years. But in terms of this year's Super Bowl, I'd rather see Tom there because he's done everything the right way. You want to reward greatness. You want to reward excellence. All-time great player, teammate. And there's a lot of players that are going down there now that want to play with him for all the same reasons. And you look at the other situation in Green Bay. He just lost his running mate in Davante Adams. And to me, I think there's just something that's refreshing about Tom and his true selflessness. And it's clear, and Rob, you can certainly speak to this, but he is a genuinely great teammate that guys really want to play with.
Nate?
No, he's a great guy. I mean,
this is boring.
That's
okay,
the
he's
one
a great
thing
guy.
I would say.
He does everything the right
Nate,
way. Blah,
don't
blah,
get crazy.
Blah,
no,
blah,
no, no, no. I would
blah,
say
blah,
that
blah.
He's making 10 – he's making like $10 million this year. Like, how is
right,
that?
See,
there's guys making $200 million.
That's not okay. That's not okay. See, Tannenbaum has come from the G.
How is that
GM.
Not okay?
He's, yeah,
he's gonna
I
win
hate
a Super Bowl,
it.
Mike, maybe because of
Tannenbaum
it.
Tannenbaum has come from the GM perspective out here trying to propagate this foolishness that guys should play on a discount. I'm not working on no discounts. Tom Brady shouldn't either. No one should be out here playing on no discount. Tom Brady is breaking the game, and I don't appreciate it. I'm fine with rewarding his greatness, but how many more damn rewards does he need? Like, his greatness has been rewarded many times over. Guys, we've done it. We've been there. I want to see, and I'm not saying I want to see Aaron Rodgers win a Super Bowl, but I think the result of a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers in it seems more tense, more exciting. It's where he's going to place in history. I mean, Tom Brady, he could go to Super Bowl and throw 6 interceptions and run backwards into yeah. safety. And you know what? He's still going to be a damn
I've been a part of that,
it feels,
too.
It feels boring.
I've been a part
me,
of
honestly.
It.
I guess the one thing
started
I want to go
Super
back
Bowl
to,
with a
though.
Safety.
Yeah, Rob, one thing I want to go back to, and it's what you brought up, Mike T, and you said, well, Tom Brady's done everything the right way. That feels like kind of a shot at Aaron Rodgers. Rob, do you think that's fair?
Well, I mean, I think this whole offseason we've all been talking about Aaron Rodgers. And Davante Adams is like, yo, what about the number one target that scores all the touchdowns? What about me? Like, what about the guy that actually makes this whole thing go forward in the offense? Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback, but, you know, there's a reason why he hasn't won a Super Bowl in 12 years. You know, there's a reason why it's not about the money, but, you know, 150 guaranteed.
Hard.
Maybe it is about the money. So at the end of the day, you know, championships in legacy, that's what it's all about. Aaron Rodgers, you know, not showing up to camp, having his issues off the field, showing everyone his feet, flexible, get it. But at the end of the day, you got to win. He's got to win. And this year in particular, if they don't win, what then what?
If Aaron Rodgers
and Molly, I'll say this.
Go ahead, Mike T, go ahead.
Okay, so let's put the economics aside for a minute because we could argue that for a long time, and we have. Mm-hmm. But Tom Clements was named the quarterback coach of the Green Bay Packers on February 18th. On the 19th, Aaron Rodgers should have said, like, I'm in. Let's get the contract worked out. $150 million guaranteed, $46 million a year. He took another month, and that's being self-absorbed. That's not being a leader. Again, put out the economics to the side. They should have gone on a plane. They mean Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, and Aaron Rodgers. Go to Devontae Adams, say, hey, this is the last dance. We're not leaving without a long-term deal. We could franchise you. We don't want to do that. We want to win a title. This is about our legacy. Aaron Rodgers did not do that. He wasn't showing himself to be a leader. He took another month to drag it out. There was nothing he didn't know on February 18th that he didn't know in mid-March. And because of that delay, that cost him Devontae Adams, and that's going to cost him a championship.
Aaron Rodgers and I are not friends. I have many reasons to be critical of Aaron Rodgers, and I have been in the past. But I will never criticize an athlete in a league that is the power is very much against them, and they never have very much power. I will not criticize an athlete for getting as much money as he can and using the power any way he wants to. But it's fine if that's what you want to do, Mike. That's fine. Then root against Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl. I'm just saying that the Super Bowl will be more interesting with Aaron Rodgers in it than it will be with Tom Brady in it again. He has nothing to prove. Aaron Rodgers still has something to prove. He still has some stakes on his career that would matter. He will be catapulted if he wins another Super Bowl, and he'll be crushed if he doesn't. That seems like a more fun experience than watching Tom Brady go in there and doesn't matter what he does.
Thank you. Lay in the mood. What's his name or her name?
While I'm doing this, I am playing tug of war with this guy with a sock. Nice. And he, get off of me. And I'm trying to, you know, have great thoughts and speak clearly. And I'm trying to get a sock away from my dog. Get out of here, man. Stop. All right. Thank
well
you.
Done.
Oh, my God.
You deserve extra credit.
What is your dog?
Extra money
name?
For that.
This is Brody. Brody is a year and a half golden retriever, and he is a little bit nuts. Okay.
Brody's
his name
adorable.
Is Brady.
Thank
his
you.
Name
Brody's
is Brady.
Adorable.
He just calls it. He calls him Brody, so
it's
we don't make
Brady.
Fun of him. But his name is actually the dog's name is Brady.
Brady.
Don't lie.
No.
He's named after Russell Westbrook. It's Brody. By the way,
I mean that's completely Brody. Brady. No. Yeah. No.
Okay. By the way, gentlemen, we are going to break here, but that question was the Rams, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. So clearly we agree on that. No one's really trying to see the Rams again. We're all good on that one.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
To the NFL we go now. The Patriots have gone 0-3 advancing in the playoffs over the last three seasons. At the NFL owners meetings, Robert Kraft expressed his expectations for the franchise.
It bothers me that we haven't been able to win a playoff game in the last 3 years.
If it takes a few years for the team to be, you know, in true contention, or do you expect that to happen as soon as this year?
I expect it to happen as soon as this year.
Nick, I know you really sympathize with Robert Kraft right there. I know you're hurting for him on the inside.
No, I sympathize with Bill Belichick there. Like it feels like in like my family or in anybody's family, like you think that you do something special for your kids and you're like, man, they'll really appreciate this. No, it then becomes the expectation. It's like, well, hey, why aren't we going to Disney World every month? Like, no, you won, what, 6 Super Bowls and went to 9? I think You can go ahead and ride this thing on out, coast it with a handful of rings plus one, and not complain about not winning a Super Bowl in, or a playoff game in the last 3 years.
Okay, so I take it you don't think they're going to win another playoff game this year. So they go four straight years.
Oh my gosh. How is Robert Kraft going to survive?
Oh, my goodness. Let's move on from this subject. It sounds like you feel feeling a little underappreciated and you need to get some things off your chest. So that's really why I did this
segment.
Listen, I know the road was much harder for you, right? You walked an hour each way to school. Tiger Woods. Yes, yes. Tiger Woods has had a struggle. Talk about adversity. Trying to come back after suffering those serious leg and foot injuries and that terrible car wreck about 14 months ago. Something possibly on the schedule. The Masters, Nick. Sources told ESPN yesterday that he played 18 holes at Augusta National Golf Club with his son Charlie and fellow pro and friend Justin Thomas. We all know golf's better when Tiger Woods is playing. Nick, how badly do you want to see him play in the Masters?
Man, I want to see him play badly, but probably not as badly as the PGA Tour and everyone involved in this, because it's I can't quite explain it, because he's a great soccer player. He's a great golfer, obviously.
We're going there next.
But yeah, I know that's what I'm anticipating. But he's such a celebrity, and it's not even like he doesn't have some personality that we love. I think it's combined with the off the course issues that he's had, from the accident to the relationship stuff, that he is in our lives in a way that very few celebrities are. So yeah, the ratings, even if he stinks, the ratings are better, and I care. And any even the most golf purists out there who love golf before Tiger Woods, they have to admit that Tiger there makes it more fun for all of us.
Let's keep it going. Nick, you may be underappreciated, but you are versatile. Soccer, here we go. Let's dive into this game in Senegal, where Egypt failed to qualify for the World Cup after Mohamed Salah sailed his penalty over the net. Throughout the match, Senegal's fans were shining lasers at the Egyptian fans, and you can see the lasers pointed at Salah's face when he missed the shot. Was this fair or foul, Nick?
I mean, it's definitely not fair, but if you watch the game, like, Senegal deserved the win. Like, they dominated. They had the ball in, like, zone 14 for most of the game. They had a ton of shots. Like, the outcome was right. I would have been more upset if Senegal got cheated out of that opportunity. But Mane and Salah, they both play for Liverpool in the Premier League. So they might have – they're the best players, or the best strikers, at least, on either team. That's Salah right there missing the penalty kick. And Mane is the guy on Senegal who made the final penalty kick to put them ahead. I would have a problem with it if it felt like Egypt deserved to win.
Yeah.
But Egypt got dominated from start to finish. So Senegal, the right team won, so no complaining.
I kind of love the commitment by the fans, but at the same time, as someone that can't see at all and I fight wearing glasses every day, I feel
great
for Salah too, so you know how it is. Nick, you're the best. We'll talk.
Thank you.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.